the process of rebirth and existence of birth after the intermediary state of existence. Although two systems are taught about whether an intermediary state being seized or does not see the parents lying, when they were born as a female generates attachment to the male and desires to sleep, or when they were born as male have that feeling towards the female and wishes to be separate from the male, then it sees only the male and the female signs. It is said that the intermediary being dies by being angry at it. The process of conception is like that of a scale. Through intense desire of the parents, thick fluids flow. After this, there definitely will come two drops of blood and sperm. They will emerge in the womb and form like that of a milk crane. A consciousness enters the womb at the same time. By its force, it merges with two parts of the great elements and sense faculties other than that. And from that arises the sense faculties of the union of fluid and the two substances. The consciousness entered at the time is accepted as foundational consciousness. For those that do not accept foundational consciousness, this is just the mental consciousness that is entering the womb, thus there are two systems. If it does not run towards the place of birth with joy, it is impossible to take birth at that place. Thus also in the case of the bridges and so forth. Also forth to be born in the hell realm. They see an object to be killed in that place, and due to habituation, runs towards it happily. Then it gets angry towards that form, the place to be born, and the intermediary existence ceases and is born in the existence of birth. When one takes birth as animals, hungry goes. Human beings, gods of the desire realms and those of the form realms, one runs happily towards the place of birth by seeing sentient beings similar to one's types, then getting angry and so forth are same as mentioned before. The machinery of having generated that mind, if one's disliking to this cyclic existence and aspiration for thought or peace is similar to the desire for freedom of someone who is trapped in a house in flames and someone who is imprisoned, that is the measure of having generated the mind common to the middle individual. In the absence of this, the wish to achieve liberation will become just word, and the very basis on which, upon which the samsara can be cut altogether would be the birth or the form as the monastic form in the monastic life. So it says that the best form to achieve liberation would be to live an ascetic or a monastic life. And the parts that are involved in liberating someone from samsara would be the threefolds, the three trainings, the training in the ethical discipline, concentration, and the wisdom. The first one, ethical discipline. So there, you are basically trying to refrain yourself from the physical and the verbal negativities. So there you're actually employing or harnessing the power of mindfulness and introspection. So you have already started harnessing or developing the power of mindfulness and introspection at the time of the first training, the training of the ethical discipline. So the job of the two, mindfulness and introspection, is to mindfulness maintains or remains focused on the object, and the introspection examines whether or not the mind is deviated from its original focus. So you would then try to develop the power of these two. And through the power of these, by developing the power of these two, then you meditate on the calm abiding practice. So having achieved that, then in turn you should focus on to the wisdom of emptiness, the wisdom of selflessness. So these three, the first the ethical discipline, then the mental concentration, or the meditation on shamatha or calm abiding, and then proceeding onto the meditation of wisdom, the wisdom of selflessness. So these three comprise the three trainings: the training, the ethical discipline, the mental absorption or single-pointed meditation, and the wisdom of emptiness or the training of wisdom. Then the text further reads, removing misunderstandings towards it. One should know the meaning of the sutra, which says, even the bodhisattvas should fear the wanderings in cyclic existence due to delusion and action, and should rejoice taking birth in cyclic existence out of compassion and wishful prayers. Next, establishing the nature of the path leading to nirvana. This is two paths. With what basis the cyclic existence can be stopped, and by meditating on what kind of path it can be stopped. With what basis the cyclic existence can be stopped? Even the householders can stop the cyclic existence if an attempt is made. However, to stop the force of cyclic existence, the basis of an ordained person is praised in many ways by the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. Since the vow of an ordained person is just the individual liberation, cherish this very root of the doctrine like your own life. The best path to stop the cyclic existence is the three precepts, remembering the teaching. At a time when the teaching of the Tathagata is disappearing, when the sublime teaching is thoroughly disintegrating, the merit of someone practicing one precept in a day and night far excels that of respecting countless Buddhas with a pure mind and offering food, drink, canopy, banners, and lines of Buddha lamp that is set in the Sabaha Paricca Sutra. By the contrary, it is said that the pure ethics of individual liberation is highly praised in all Vinaya. So next, the Mahayana practice. So this Mahayana approach is basically focused on all the other sentient beings. So this mind is vast in ways of its scope of focus. Because of that, the very method and the wisdom employed would become vast. And then accordingly, the resultant state so obtained would become so vast. And the householders should practice all except the signs and rituals. Thus, those desiring liberation should develop then and enhance the teaching of the Buddha with a practice where the sutra and the sandra become complementary. This completes the teaching on definiteness of the door to practice a path common to the middle person. Training the mind in the stage of the path to a great vehicle, showing that the only gateway to Mahayana is bodhicitta. So this bodhicitta is actually the very element or the factor which has the capacity to bring about the benefit, the ultimate benefit, not only for others but for yourself as well. Even for the mere attainment of nirvana, if one has to be instigated by the Buddha and enter the Mahayana path to the teachings of the conqueror that is demonstrated by compassion, those that are in the nature of one taste to benefit others will enter. The source of development of excellent qualities of oneself and others, the only path of travel of all wise individuals, by engaging into the purpose of others, one's own purpose is spontaneously fulfilled, amazing. Entering this supreme path is the supreme gift. Bodhicitta alone is the gateway to Mahayana. As when you have this, you are a Mahayana, even if you don't possess anything else. So someone generating this bodhicitta is something indeed marvelous or amazing, because if you're engaging in this very practice of bodhicitta, so not only will it lead you to the prosperity or the happiness of the other sentient beings, it will also bring about the ultimate happiness or the benefit to oneself as well. So the path which are common to the middle school person, so they do have the power to bring about liberation, but they don't possess the power to create or bring about the full enlightenment or Buddhahood. And whereas this bodhicitta, so on top of it having the capacity to bring about the fruitioning of the lower the realizations or the achievements like liberation, it has the capacity to bring about the Buddhahood as well into culmination. So it says amazing. So it kind of expresses the tremendous mental emotion of amazement or joy over having embraced bodhicitta. Amazing. Entering the supreme path of bodhicitta is a supreme gift. Bodhicitta alone is the gateway to Mahayana. So it is the case that if somebody possessed this mind of bodhicitta, so naturally he is then included as a Mahayana practitioner. And the very moment you are deprived of this bodhicitta, you are then excluded out of the very domain of the Mahayana practitioner. So this is something, a very special and unique quality of the Mahayana, which would categorize someone as a Mahayanist or Mahayana practitioner. Gift. Bodhicitta alone is the gateway of Mahayana. As when you have this, you are Mahayana, even if you don't possess anything else. And in the absence of this, the Mahayana path degenerates.